2 Corinthians 3 again. Second Corinthians 3, we're going to look at the last couple verses in this chapter. We're going to read verses 16, 17, and 18 and look specifically at 17 and 18. It says in verse 16, "Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So the heart that turns to the Lord, this veil that is concealing them from the gospel, the veil that is maybe hiding from them the fact that the law has passed, the veil that is keeping them from that spiritual life, when they turn to the Lord, will be taken away. Verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." So we find here the working of the Spirit of God in an individual's life and what it produces. It produces liberty. Verse 18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." In verse number 18 here, we find really an amazing truth is the transformation of the lives of believers. The transformation of the lives of believers by the Spirit of the Lord, His working in us as the glory of the Lord is reflected in our lives. Now I wonder this evening, are our lives reflecting the glory of the Lord? Is that transformational work taking place in our lives? Even as it says, the same word, the word for change there is the word for transform that is used in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So this changing here, changed into the same image, the glory of the Lord is being reflected as in a mirror onto our lives, and we are changed into that same image from glory to glory. So it is something that is ever increasing from one glory into the next, even as by what? The Spirit of the Lord. So this is not a self-reformation, so to speak, process that takes place. But this is a transformation that takes place by the Spirit of God in our lives as we what? With open face. All right, the idea of the open face there is that the veil has been taken away, so that we can see clearly the glory of the Lord, which is reflected in what? Well, as seen in the Word of God. So it really brings back, here are the Jewish people. Here are the people that the veil is still on. And they are not able to see clearly. But when that veil is taken off, and here, referring to specifically to us, the veil is taken away. And there is no excuse in our lives for us not to reflect the glory of the Lord. And as we are beholding, as we are looking at the glory of the Lord, the Spirit of God does what? Does a transforming work in our lives whereby we are changed into that same image. And this is God's plan for our life. As we read this morning in Romans chapter 8, in verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did what? Predestinate to be conformed to the what? To the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, God's will for your life, if you are a believer, is for your life to be transformed, to be conformed to what? The world's image? No, to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this evening here, we're going to look at this working of the Spirit of God in our lives and what really takes place in the Christian life. Now, this morning I had corrected myself and said actually the verse 6 going down kind of comes down to verse 16, but I was really, when it talks about the Spirit giveth life, and this verse 16 is connected to verse 17, but it almost seems, in a sense, 17 jumping back up there to verse 6 and verse 8, where he is talking about the Spirit. But we do here find the working of the Spirit of God and what it is producing. And the first thing here we find is that it produces a life of freedom. It says, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, what aspects of freedom does the Spirit of God produce in an individual's life? Well, I think one aspect here we find in this passage, and that is the freedom to openly and plainly declare Christ. The Apostle Paul, verse 12, says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. One area of freedom is that freedom to openly and plainly declare Christ. You know, the only way anyone is going to listen to the message that we have to offer is by the power of the Spirit of God working in an individual's life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, but God hath what? Well, verse 9, but as is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath what? Revealed them unto us by his Spirit. But the natural man what? Receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. He says, in my speech, my preaching came not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Spiritual things are only going to be revealed to a person's life by the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God is working, there is an environment of freedom. There is a freedom to proclaim the things of God. And here there is a veil, so to speak, that is on an individual. And the only way that can be removed is as they turn to the Lord. And as the Spirit of God works in that individual's life. So there is a freedom to openly and plainly declare Christ. If you go to the Acts chapter 4, what's one of the descriptions you find of the apostles? If you look at the book of Acts, a church that was filled, controlled by the Spirit of God, what was some of their characteristics? Well, it says in verse number 31 of Acts 4, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were what? All filled with the Holy Ghost. And what was the result of that? There was a what? There was a freedom of giving the Word of God out. And they spake the Word of God with boldness. Notice verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. There was a freedom to proclaim the message that was given to them to proclaim. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Verse 32, And we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit, whom God hath, what, given to them that obey Him. Verses 41 and 42, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, and daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to preach, to teach and preach Jesus Christ. There was a freedom, a liberty to proclaim the name of Christ. Why? Because they were controlled by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God was producing this freedom in their lives to speak freely about Christ. You know, when we are filled with our own flesh, when we are controlled by our flesh, what does it do? Well, I know in my own life. I mean, we can come up with all sorts of excuses why we shouldn't speak to somebody. And that freedom is taken away. And why is it? Because liberty comes through who? The Holy Spirit. And when He's not working in our lives, there's not going to be that freedom to speak Christ. I mean, you look at the apostles. I mean, they had every excuse not to speak. I mean, they were facing a persecution. They had just been commanded, don't speak in His name. But yet, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit brought the liberty that they needed in their lives to speak as they ought to speak. You know, do you have that freedom in your life tonight to freely proclaim Christ? You know, there's not that bondage of, boy, what are they going to think about what I'm saying? You know, there's not that bondage of, you know, really other people's opinions, but there's that freedom to freely speak. You know, what a joy and a blessing that can be in our lives when we have that freedom that the Spirit of God can bring to freely proclaim Christ. You know, the joy that can be in our lives when that takes place. So we have the freedom to openly and plainly declare Christ. There's the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings, the liberty from the bondage of sin. In Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 12. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Holy Spirit has set us free from the bondage to our own sinful flesh, and has given us the freedom to follow His direction and to live really true life. We have not received the spirit of bondage, it says in verse number 15, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. There is no longer that chain that is connected to sin. But there is a freedom. We have now a relationship with the God of heaven. And we have been set free from that bondage to sin. You know, what a glorious thought. That we have been set free from sin. That we have, if you are saved tonight, you have a personal relationship with the God of heaven. You know, if you have a need in your life, maybe you have, you know, let's take it maybe in an instance from a child and a parent. You know, maybe that child is going on a field trip and they need $3.50 for the field trip in order to go on the field trip. Maybe they're going to stop for lunch somewhere, maybe to get admitted into wherever they're going. They need $3.50. And that child has no money, has no way of getting those funds, just doesn't have money. You know, what's that child going to do? You know, is he going to start going around the neighborhood, you know, knocking on doors, saying, hey, would you donate 25 cents to my cause? I'm trying to go on a field trip tomorrow, and I need some money. Well, I mean, there'd probably be some kind-hearted souls that would give to him, but what's the first thing they do? Well, they're going to go to their parents. There's that relationship there. You know, we have that relationship with God as our Father. He has set us free from that bondage of sin. There isn't that fear of going to Him, of requesting those things that are needed in our life. There's a freedom. You know, before we were saved, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, we were what? We were dead in our sins. You know, there was no spiritual life there. We were in bondage to sin. But through the Spirit of God, we have been set free. Amen. There is liberty. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1, it talks about how we need to stand fast. There's freedom from the bondage of sin, but there is freedom from the bondage of trying to improve our standing with God based on what we do rather than on what Christ has done. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." You know, we don't have to sit there and fear and think, you know, have I been good enough today to stay on my way to heaven? Now, I'm not saying, obviously, we ought to go out and live whatever kind of life we want. But, you know, the devil knows how to put fear within our lives. You know, he wants us to be on a relationship of fear. Now, fear with God. Now, obviously, the Bible talks about the fear of the Lord. We don't want to confuse these things. But Satan wants us to be fearful of God so that it causes us to draw away from God. God wants us to fear Him, to have a reverential awe of Him, so we what? So we draw close to Him, so we obey Him, so we follow Him, so we trust Him. But Satan wants to engender within us this fear, this bondage within our lives. But we need to recognize that our standing with God is not based on what we have done. But our standing with God is based on what Christ has done for us. And by the putting our faith and dependence upon Him. You know, there is a freedom, and it says, stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You know, Satan wants to steal that freedom from us. He wants us to be enslaved to sin. He wants us to not have that freedom. He wants us to think that freedom is living as you please. But that's not freedom. That's bondage. Freedom is really relishing the standing that we have in Christ. And being able, depending upon Christ, to produce within us that true spiritual life. The Christian life is a life of freedom. A freedom to openly and plainly declare Christ. A freedom from the bondage of sin. A freedom from the bondage of trying to improve our standing with God based on what we have done rather than on what Christ has done. You know, what is going to hinder this freedom in our life? Well, it is going to be hindered as the Spirit of God is hindered from working in our lives. You know, Ephesians chapter 4, what does it say? It says, "Grieve not the Spirit of God." You know, what are some of the things that grieve the Spirit of God? Right after grieving the Spirit of God, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." These things, these sins of the Spirit, these sins of the flesh, but here specifically the Spirit, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, these are the things that grieve the Spirit of God. And instead of having that freedom of Christ in our lives, the freedom that the Spirit brings in our lives, we are going to have bondage. Because we are allowing ourselves to be overcome by this sin, and it is grieving the Spirit of God. If you have bitterness in your life tonight, if you have anger, that evil speaking. You need to get it. You need to be set free by the Spirit of God from those things because it is grieving Him. And are you quenching the Spirit in your life as He seeks to work? You are quenching that freedom that He is seeking to bring in your life tonight. You know, we find here that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord is seeking to produce freedom, to bring liberty in our lives. You know, the settling of this country, what was the thing that people were looking for? Well, they were looking for what? For freedom. You know, and what a joyful thing it was for them to be what? To be free. You know, you think of maybe certain slaves that were, you know, set free. Set free from their bondage. What a joyful thing that is. Well, as believers tonight, we ought to be joyful because of the freedom that is brought by the Spirit of God in our lives. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty. You know, if you are lacking in the liberty this evening, if you are lacking in that true freedom, then there is some getting right that needs to be done tonight with the Spirit of the Lord. But then as we continue on, we find it says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord." We find that this life of the Spirit, this Christian life that God wants to produce within us is what? What is it all about? Well, it's about having an unobstructed view of the Lord. It says, with open face, beholding as in a glass or as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. God wants us, the Spirit of God wants us to have an unobstructed view of the glory of the Lord, that it might be reflected in our lives. It says, with open face. No longer is that veil upon us. And the question is tonight, do you have an unobstructed view of the Lord? You know, the apostles in Acts chapter 4, we've already there, but it's a familiar verse I want to read for you. Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they what? They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." They were what? They were radiating the life of Christ in their lives. And I wonder tonight, do you have that unobstructed view of the Lord? Are you able with open face to behold the glory of the Lord in that mirror so it can be reflected in your life? Or is there something blocking the way? You know, when you're driving down the road, you know, yesterday we were driving home from college days and the snow was coming. And you know, sometimes that snow can get on those mirrors. And it what? Well, it obstructs your ability to see what's on your side. You know, and sometimes things can get in our lives and what? Obstruct our ability for the glory of the Lord to be reflected in us. You know, I wonder tonight, are there things that are obstructing the Lord's glory from being reflected in your life? You know, we sang the song tonight, "Nothing Between My Soul and the Savior." Well, why is it that we don't want anything between the soul and our Savior? One reason is so that the glory of the Lord can be reflected in our lives. And when there is something between, there is something that is obstructing His glory from being reflected in us. You know, is there something tonight that is hindering that reflection from taking place? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12, it talks about how we are to be to the what? To the praise of His glory. God wants to be glorified in our lives. In Matthew, it talks about how that they may see your what? Your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And as people look at our lives ought to magnify to them who the God is that we are serving. You know, but when things come into our lives that obstruct that view, when sin enters our lives that obstructs that view, or as it says in, you know, Hebrews chapter 1, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What does it say? It talks about what? Laying aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us. You know, are there weights? Is there sin in our lives that are hindering God's glory from being reflected in us? Is that image of Christ being reflected in us? Is it as it was in the church in Antioch, in which there was not yet the term Christian, but there was the term disciple. And they were so closely following Christ that the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. You know, nowadays, obviously, you know, the term Christian, as it is used, has taken on really a different meaning from what, as it was used back then. But back then it was what? It was a natural term that was used for those who are what? Following Christ. Because they were reflecting His image in their lives. And I wonder tonight, is that what is taking place in your life? Can people take knowledge of you and realize that you have been with Jesus? Are you spending that time, are you relishing that time with the Savior so that His image can be reflected in your life? Is God's glory being reflected in your life? Jesus Christ is our example to follow. And is that transformation taking place? We find that this reflection is not just a one-time experience that takes place. But it says here, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." So, what the Spirit of God is seeking to do in our lives is one of continual transformation. Yes, at salvation, we are positionally sanctified. But there is a continual process of sanctification in which God is seeking to, our lives are being set apart from sin and set apart unto His service, a continual process. And it emphasizes that there when it says, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. There is the brightness, so to speak, is increasing. That splendor that is being reflected in our lives is increasing. It is growing greater. You know, when you get a flashlight, many times it's the opposite thing that happens. You know, and it's like, you know, I remember, you know, maybe growing up, or maybe you've had the same experience in your household, like trying to find a flashlight that actually has batteries that work can be a great challenge. You know, now it's kind of nice. For a while, I'd gotten one of those that you can wind up. And boy, when you got those, even if the battery's dead, at least you can sit there and crank on it and get some light. You know, and the natural thing in our universe is for things to what? To get dimmer, to gradually wear out. You know, have you ever had a flashlight that you turn on the button and it's dim and it just gradually gets brighter and brighter and brighter? Well, that's not what happens. But we find here the miracle of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord working in our lives, is that as He works in our lives, our life becomes what? Brighter. The reflection of the glory of God in our life should not diminish, but it should be growing greater and greater every day. I wonder, is that brightness growing in your life? Is that transformation taking place in your life? As we read earlier in Romans chapter 12, I want to go back to that verse again. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind." Right? It's not just, well, I renewed my mind on Sunday, you know, and it's the first Sunday of the month, so I'm good for the rest of the month. Well, I think we understand that. But it's a what? It's a continual renewing of our mind. Because why? We are being transformed. The opposite is what? To be conformed to this world. But God wants us to be transformed by the Spirit of God working through the what? Through the Word of God. You know, none of us have arrived in our Christian lives. All of us have room to grow. You know, and if you're anything like me, you have a lot of room to grow. You know, is that transformation taking place? You know, this year, the last couple months, how much transformation has taken place? How much of that glory of God is being reflected in your life? You know, it takes place by who? By the Spirit of the Lord working in our lives. How does He work? Through the what? Through the Word of God. You know, really, many times the Christian life comes down to things that are so simple. Comes down to really our relationship with the Word of God. You know, has the Word of God become something where we read it, or is it something where we are seeking for it to transform the way that we operate our lives? You know, do we allow the Spirit of God to speak to our hearts through His Word? You know, when God is seeking to accomplish something in our lives, and the Spirit of God is speaking, obviously not audibly to us, but there is something we know we ought to do because it is commanded in Scripture, are we allowing that transformation to take place in our lives? This is something continual that the Spirit of God is seeking to do. And as that transformation takes place in our lives, what is it going to bring? Well, where the Spirit of the Lord there is what? There is liberty. You know, do you want to be set free tonight from the bondage that is in your life? Well, you need to allow the Spirit of God to do a working in your life. You need to allow Him to transform your life. You need to get into God's Word and allow it to shape your thinking so that your mind can be renewed, so you can have that freedom. So you don't have to have that clamming up and you can't say anything, you can't speak anything. You know, the temptation comes and there's no power to say no, because the Spirit of God is not transforming your life. You know, the Spirit of God wants to accomplish this in our lives. You know, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And really, this verse presents it as such a simple thing. Really a simple looking, beholding the glory of the Lord. You know, as we look at that glory, as we have that unobstructed view. You know, tonight, maybe the reason it's not taking place is because there's an obstruction in your life. Because really, it's presented as such a simple thing. As simple thing as simply what? Beholding, as in a glass, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord and the Spirit of God working that transformation in our lives as we are looking. You know, like it says in the book of Isaiah about salvation, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and what? And be ye saved. Well, here it is presenting the Christian life as a life of looking. Looking into the Word of God. Looking to the Lord. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And allowing His glory to permeate our lives. So that it can what? Be reflected out into the lives of others, and He will receive honor and glory. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that we would not view the Christian life as a big, complicated list of all these different things that we must get in order. But Lord, that we would view the Christian life as a simple thing, Lord, of simply looking to You. Lord, of allowing Your Word to transform our lives as the Spirit of God works in us. Lord, I pray tonight that we would be willing to take away those things that are obstructing that view tonight, so that You can accomplish the work in each one of our lives that You are seeking to accomplish. Lord, so that You can bring us into that freedom, that liberty. Lord, that each one of us, hopefully each one of us, is longing for this evening. But it is something that can only truly be accomplished by Your Spirit working in our lives. Lord, tonight I pray that each one of us would recognize that this is a continual work in our lives that You want to do. It's not just something that we can turn on and turn off when we please, but Lord, this is a transforming work that must take place from now, Lord, until we die. I wonder, with heads bowed and eyes closed this evening,